9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Well, a big happy Monday to you, good people, and welcome to another edition of WWT Live. This is part of Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet. They call me the professor around these parts. You can call me Gerard, GB. I don't know what other nicknames we could come up with, but I'm sure whatever it is, it'll be good. It'll be fun. I might even, well, that's a heavy, heavy crown to wear. I'd say you might call me KDOT for a couple of good reasons, because, you know, they're not like us. But anyway, be that as it may, there's a lot to talk about. It's Super Bowl Monday. We have got a lot of information to share with you, because while it's happy in some places, it's not happy in others. Lots of adjustments happening on the road to WrestleMania. With that said, well, let's bring on some friends, shall we?
It's the Queen Bee of WWT, Wrestling with Honey with
Honey Pop Predictions.
You continue to sing that, Professor. They not like us. They not like us. They not like. Man, I was jamming in that halftime. Listen, the only Super Bowl winner I saw was Kendrick Lamar. That's all I will say.
That's all you will acknowledge, huh?
That is all I will acknowledge. As of right now, the 2025 season starts today for some of us, okay? Especially us with terrible towels. Back to business.
Back to business it is. I get it. Well, I would imagine that our next guest would feel the same way, but, you know, she's unpredictable. She's a wee bit elite. Courtney's in the building. The Dolphins fan, how are you?
Oh, man, it is Monday.
Do you see this?
I had to dress up as Courtney Cassidy today because there's a lot that's happened.
I don't think anybody's paying attention to your jean jacket or your glasses. No. They're paying attention to your jersey.
Well, it's so ironic because if you notice, I live near Eagles country because the Dolphins, yes, I didn't make the playoffs, but my whole family's technically Eagles fans. So I did have to root for the birds.
You know what you know what it feels like, Professor? It feels like this is what it feels like.
Oh, would you look at... Oh, my... Oh, it's... Oh.
I just got gutted.
That's one of the teams I just can't go against.
You know, Okay, so let me start by saying greetings to everybody. Dylan is asking, a person from New Jersey who goes for the Eagles. So let me explain that for you, Dylan. In terms of geography, a number of places in New Jersey are actually a stone's throw away from Philadelphia. So, you know, there are people in New Jersey who, you know, sometimes act as transplants for Philly. My only issue here is Courtney went so hard for the Dolphins all season long. Then gets here, and all of a sudden, it reeks of bandwagon. But you know, I don't want to be that guy, right? And
I'm just appalled because I feel like I've just been misled this whole time.
It's not misleading. I just figured I'd wear it today because after tomorrow, it's a 2025 season.
Oh man!
After tomorrow, wow. Okay. Okay.
You won't catch me wearing.
Now, you know what? I would have actually been very good if she had said, you know, she wanted the Chiefs to lose, or like you said, honey, a couple of weeks ago, you know, you wanted the Commanders to win because you didn't like the Eagles. But I mean, she went full on. But you know what? These are the things that we learn during this season. So
yes,
very good.
I've learned my lesson of the day.
Yeah. Well, hey, we learned. So, Dylan, we starting on time now. If you know, if I'm here, we're going to start on time. That's one thing you could guarantee for sure. Eric, good to see you. Cousin, good to see you. Cindy, good to see you. I have a good one. The Jacob Denier. Oh, boy, there sounds like a story there. Pachu, good to see you. Boza, good to see you. That's right. It is Vengeance and Grand Slam Australia week. That's right. Jeffrey, yes, indeed. They are not like us. Special little nobodies, good to see you as well. Let's see. I hope Professor had a great time at Dynamite last week. Queen Aminata versus Tony May was fun to watch back after seeing it the second time. You know what? It was a fun time at Dynamite. Let me say this. You know, AEW and Tony Khan generally gets a rough go at it. If you've been to an AEW event, you know that it's going to be a pretty long night. They usually will do some matches before it starts to tape for Ring of Honor. They'll do whatever the TV show is, and then they'll do an hour or two of Ring of Honor toward the end of that. I was very pleasantly surprised at this trip to Dynamite. For one, there were no Ring of Honor matches taped, except for maybe one. There might have been one. But there were two or three kind of dark matches in what you would consider a traditional sense of a dark match. They did the Dynamite taping, and after that, the night was over. Mm-hmm. So it's a shocking moment, but it was a great moment. It felt good. The energy was high. It was in a smaller venue, but I think that actually works for AEW because it was a pretty packed space. So kudos to AEW for a really good show for Dynamite. I love the venue. I enjoyed everything. It all felt good.
Nice.
So yeah, shout out to AEW. I think the adjustments that they're making are good adjustments, and I hope that they will continue with that for sure. But with all of that said, there is definitely AEW news to get to, and we're going to get to that, I promise you. But we're going to start with some massive news, which happened literally as SmackDown ended. Everybody started talking about this over the weekend. Yep. It's the first official set of mass releases in the TKO era. If you remember, we've not had mass releases in WWE for just about 2 years, if we're honest. But here we are now, our first set of releases, and it's about 10 superstars or so. You've got Isla Dawn, Blair Davenport, Sonya Deville, Cedric Alexander, Giovanni Vinci, the Authors of Pain, Paul Ellering. You also have the Good Brothers and Electra Lopez. So all of them were released over the weekend. Let's talk about these 10 or 11 stars here. Your thoughts on these releases? Anything at all? What are your thoughts? Let's start with you, Courtney.
I think sometimes people tend to forget about the business side when it comes to professional wrestling, because usually we've seen this almost every year where there is a lot of cuts in between, and sometimes it's always the ones we want to see on TV. So it really does get a little bit difficult. I was very shocked that some of these releases were actually ongoing, especially during SmackDown, because it was like an alert there, an alert here, and it's just like, wait, who got released? Who got released? So there's just a lot of things. But of course, at the end of the day, it is a business, but sometimes it's not always the end-all be-all, because usually some wrestlers take a year or two off. Sometimes they wrestle in the independent. They usually try to find space in the professional wrestling, and sometimes they do come back within WWE. So it's not, I don't want to be the Debbie Downer as the end all be all, but we do wish them all the best on wherever they go. But it was pretty shocking to Lisa say on a Friday too.
Honey, let me get your thoughts on these releases. Again, we ran through all of these names. Were any of these surprises for you? Any thoughts on these?
A couple of these were surprises. It was definitely surprising in the moment while it was happening in real time, because it was literally happening during the watch along last Friday. And for the last hour, we were just literally all asking each other questions and pretty much trying to figure everything out, because, you know, it wasn't sure if it was, you know, just dirt sheets or IWC, just I being the IWC, but these were official releases. And this is a hefty group of individuals to let go of. I mean, you have, you know, a former tag team, reigning tag team champion in Giovanni Vinci, you know, from Imperium, the likes of Imperium. He was set to go on a solo run and break out onto his own, and that kind of went nowhere. even Isla Dawn having the moment with Alba Fire earlier this year, Clash at the Castle, winning the tag team championships against the Big Two, the women's tag team championships against the Big Two, and, you know, being successful in that. But after that, nothing going on there. Sonya Deville was quite the surprise as well, because she had already had a long tenure with WWE. And I would have thought that maybe they would have found something to do with her, but it seems like maybe they're just taking things in a different direction. And literally Blair Davenport was nowhere to be found, maybe a couple of times on SmackDown since being drafted, and, you know, had a short stint in NXT. But the Good Brothers, that's kind of shocking, but I feel like the Good Brothers, they could fit in anywhere. Authors of Pain, they were on the roster for about three years or so without even being seen once during that COVID time at one point. Like, they were just, like, in the dark. There was just nothing going on. So it's like, I think, you know, what they were doing with the business side of this was just flushing out some, I don't want to call it dead weight, but I'm just saying that that's not what they are. But I'm just saying, like, they're just flooding out superstars that they are not in need of, or, you know, not utilizing. And maybe, and, you know, we wish them a lot all the best in their future opportunities and such. There's a lot of them I know that will be fine in other spaces.
For sure. Let's see. Jasmine is back. Always good to have you back. Jasmine's like a regular now. I like this. A regular for sure. So let's see. There was a specific comment that I saw that I wanted to get to. Oh, Cousin Ron asked, wasn't the word that Sonya chose not to resign? That is true. They did not choose to renew her contract, which, you know, those kinds of things happen. Here's the interesting thing. We as a community here at WWT have gone through this phase quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Again, the last year, and this is the first mass release that we've had in the TKO era. And so I would say to that, one of the things that I think most people have a hard time with when it comes to understanding these releases is people tend to think releases happen because a company is having a hard time financially. Mm-hmm. That's not the case. You know, if anything, you do what you need to do from a business perspective to maintain profitability. I don't know, and I won't pretend to know, how many stars they have budgeted for. I don't know how those particular decisions are made. One thing I will say, though, is, you know, the number one, it's never good for anyone in any field to lose their jobs. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And we are certainly thinking about all of these stars. Some of them we saw on television more than others. So, for instance, you know, when you look at an Isla Dawn, a Cedric Alexander, and a Sonya Deville, we've been seeing them on our television screens very recently. As mm-hmm. recently as within the last week or two, you know, pretty much everyone else on this list, save Electra Lopez, who we saw Friday night, we've not seen the bulk of the rest of these on our television screens for whatever reason. I don't know the reasons behind it. With that said, again, I want to put this out there that these releases are not indicative of a company, you know, having a hard time financially. And I think that's got to be remembered in all of this. I think people still think about the pandemic cuts when mm-hmm. companies were trying to survive. You know, mm-hmm. that's not where we are now. And again, you know, TK, I'm sure, will appreciate being at least referenced in this regard. She always talks about millionaire and billionaire kinds of problems. And, you know, running a business is a different deal when you're dealing with billions of dollars versus, you know, us deciding to cut a bill from our household type of budget, you know?
Right.
Now, if there is a silver lining to this, it is that the wrestling business right now is as healthy as it's ever been. there are places for all of these superstars to be able to land if they choose to do so. And pretty much every other organization where they might decide to land will obviously treat them well because of the time they've spent in WWE. So we will see how this goes for all of the stars. I'll get to this part in a little bit because, of course, they all have a 90-day non-compete. So it'll be a few months before we see them resurface in any particular organization. And we'll delve into that perhaps a little bit later. Right now, I want to just, you know, honor their careers, what they have done in WWE. And we'll love to see what happens for them in the future. I will also make this one thing, because there's a lot of comments that are happening right now in the chat, which I love. I want to remind people, because I saw somebody mention something about, let me read this. People love to say they dropped the ball. Name a release in the last few years that has gone on to do anything bigger or more. They didn't drop the ball. They freed up room and money. I think we have to think of it a couple of ways. Number one, sometimes you don't always fit in certain environments. And some wrestlers do a better job in other spaces. I'll say this. We can look at the things that are happening right now with the Hurt Business. We can look at what's happening with Swerve. We can look at Ricochet right now. I think most of us thought that the initial move for Ricochet wasn't a good move, but he was adjusting a bit. And he has found his space. And for Ricochet to main event Dynamite this past week and pin Swerve Strickland, it was Swerve's first pin since 2023.
That's wild.
Says a lot about Ricochet and where he's viewed. So I think there is a future for any of these wrestlers, depending upon where they want to go. And they've got 90 days and time to figure that out. And, you know, we'll see what happens for all of them. But we certainly wish them well. Now, with that said, what's really interesting, and it's rare that it happens like this. Usually it happens in one place or the other, but usually not both this soon. As today, we've heard that there are three names who have officially parted ways with AEW. That includes Miro. It also includes Ricky Starks and Malakai Black. All three of them are no longer signed officially to AEW. Now, I'd like to get your thoughts on these. And Courtney, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on these three stars being released from AEW?
These three were not a surprise. It was just a matter of time of when they were going to be released. I am very sad with Ricky because I was very excited to see him on AEW, and I thought at least it could have been a little bit of a next level, but we don't know what happens behind the scenes. So it was very hard because I was really pulling for Ricky. It's one of those things, as we mentioned in the previous story, it is a business. And a lot of times people don't know, understand the behind the scenes of it. And it is gut-wrenching, especially seeing all three of them. But it's not always the end-all be-all. And I'm very curious on where they're going to go to next. I mean, they could go to another promotion. They could wrestle in New Japan or somewhere overseas. So there's a lot of opportunities out there in the world of professional wrestling. And curious on what the next chapter unfolds with all three of these wrestlers.
So let me ask you this, honey, because this is something that's actually really interesting to me. Is it my imagination, or is it that this same news of stars being released from one company versus another company, is it my imagination that the response is different for those released from WWE versus those released from AEW? Is that my imagination?
I could see why you would, you could have imagined something like that. I could definitely feel that there is a different vibe to both of these releases on opposite ends. I think because we could sit here and dissect where a lot of these superstars can go and where they would fit and what have you. But the truth is, with the way the wrestling business is booming today, the possibilities are endless. You don't know what to expect. And I mean, at the end of the day, it would be up to the superstar and what, you know, what direction they want to go with, you know, where they're at in their lives, where they're at in their careers, you know, family, lots of things to consider, you know, when making certain moves. But these are some particular names and some particular superstars, and some of them have made impacts and some of them have done better in some places than others. You know, who's to say what can happen in the future? But I don't think that is your imagination at all. I could see where that energy would lie there.
Yeah, you know, so I'm being a little coy as I say that. But, you know, the general feel right now is for those who've parted ways from WWE, it is this feeling of, man, this is horrible. This is terrible. This is unfortunate. Mm-hmm. For those released from AEW, it's I literally hear people playing the Beyonce track Freedom. I literally hear that. So, you know, I guess the question is, and I don't know if it's, you know, I know those three names from AEW, there are those who feel as though AEW hadn't done anything with them. They want it to be free, so free them. I don't know if we've heard those same kind of statements coming from WWE or from those who were in WWE who were released. I also think the other side of it is, in a very strange way, people acknowledging, you know, I'm trying to think of the kindest way to say this. People acknowledging the hierarchy of the wrestling business. Let me give you an example. So being released from WWE, people go, oh man, that is really, really bad. You know, there are places for them to land. You know, maybe they'll go here, maybe they'll go there. When people are released from AEW, the automatic thought is, oh, they're going to kill in WWE. It's a completely different response that people have. And I just think it's interesting. I'm not saying one's right or wrong. I just think it's very interesting that the responses are so different for those released from WWE versus those released from AEW. It's very interesting to watch. What we don't know, we do know on the WWE side that there's a 90-day non-compete. I do not know if there is such a non-compete right now in AEW. And so if there is not, it means obviously we could see any one of these three wrestlers pop up almost anywhere at any time, which I think is equally interesting. Now, I don't know if I should mess with people too much on that. Mm-hmm. So what I will do, so that Honey keeps her eyes focused ahead.
I've been trying not to keep my hopes up for like the last month. I really have.
I get it.
I think I'm doing okay.
Well, and here's my hope. I think, you know, there are obviously those who feel like those three could do well in WWE. I guess the question is, well, for one, I think WWE would be smart about how they do this. I'd like to think that they would keep it under wraps and surprise the world, as opposed to, you know, letting the cat out of the bag so everybody gets excited. But here's my next question, though. and I know I didn't do this on the WWE side, but because people think differently, if you would any of those three in this era of WWE, as we are on the road to WrestleMania, as stacked as we saw the Royal Rumble, as stacked as we see Raw and SmackDown, is there a place right now for Miro, Ricky Starks, and or Aleister Black, or Malakai Black? And I guess my question is, if only one of the three can make the move, who is it? Courtney, I'm starting with you. You don't get to piggyback. You got to go.
you got to go off the top. No.
Which of these three? First, the first question is, would any of them fit in this current era of WWE? And I don't want to make it difficult for you, but I mean, just look back at the Royal Rumble and the massive star power that was in the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. All of these household names right now, is now a good time for any of these three to show up? And if it is, who's the one of the three who can show up?
This is always interesting because I do see potential in them. My biggest concern is getting them lost in the shuffle because there's so much star power. And technically, since we're on the road to WrestleMania, that's the biggest fear that I have, is kind of getting them lost in the shuffle. Now, if out of the three who I see that I would like to see be in WWE, I'm actually going to go with somebody who's actually familiar with WWE. I would probably say, actually, no, let me backtrack on that. If I had to pick somebody out of the three, I would pick Ricky Starks. With Ricky, I did see potential in him on the promo-wise on the AEW front, but if there's like one brand I would like to see him do and start off just a little bit, I can see him probably going down to NXT and really think about that and just really kind of get his feet wet, similar to what Ethan Page did, because when Ethan Page first came on, he had to get his feet a little bit wet, and then he faced off against Trick Williams and got the NXT championship. It's just pretty much getting his feet wet before kind of jumping into either Raw or SmackDown. So I could see Ricky possibly being an additional support for that men's division within NXT.
Interesting. Okay. What are your thoughts, honey? Is there room right now for any one of these three to show up in WWE? And if there is, who is it? Who's the one?
If any of these three currently, as right now, if there's any room for them, this is going to be surprising. I'm going to say no. There's no room for any of them. Not right now. Not right this moment.
Okay.
If you're bringing back Miro and you're bringing him back as Rusev, I'm not sure what's going to work with that there. But if you're doing that and you might want to do that before the year is up, considering John Cena's on a retirement tour, I would give Rusev slash Miro, aka Miro, whatever you want to call him at this point now, a spot at Cena sometime by the end of the year before the year is up, and see that one last time. Rusev was always a big problem for Cena back in their era. I think that would be pretty cool. Ricky Stark, I'm not bringing Ricky Stark in until maybe next Royal Rumble.
Probably. Oh, a whole year. Okay.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna take our time with Ricky Stark. Because there is a lot of, he has something. He has a lot of something, and I feel like if done right and carefully with the slow cook, they can do a really good job with him, and I know he's built for it. As far as Malakai Black, this one puts a smile on my face because I'm just excited. Not right now, but if I want to make it interesting. And I've been seeing it around in the chat, and I actually had a discussion with this in my own personal group chat. Raw after Mania or SmackDown, that SmackDown after Mania, wherever Cody's at, I might bring in Malakai there. Yeah. Because apparently, I mean, according to a lot of sources, Malachi Black, formerly known as formerly known as Aleister Black, was in the eyes of Triple H a very big deal and a potential top guy. So if you want to roll him out that way, that's what I would do.
Okay.
Yeah, I kind of gave you all three.
He gave me a case for all of them. Well, let's see what the people are saying over here in this good chat. Shout out to our friends over at the Mega Powers podcast. I'll talk about them before the end of the show. Had a fun interview with them that you guys can check out.
That was so cool. Yeah, that was fun. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see. Put Ricky in AEW NXT for the next... I'm okay, Dylan. You got to help me with that. I don't know what you mean.
TNA and NXT.
Maybe he meant that. Do you hold off till after Mania season? Ricky can go to NXT. SmackDown for Aleister with his wife. Ricky to NXT. Jasim, welcome aboard. Aleister Black is who you're picking. I'm gonna find a loophole in that question, Professor. NXT and WWE are not the same. Well, their checks are so
yeah.
Let's see, does Ricky run on NXT or go to the main roster? Let's see, the men's division in NXT needs help. Now I do agree with that. I honestly think that's the reason that Ethan Page was sent to NXT, not because he needed TV work, but because the men's division was in need of help. I think this is a really interesting space. DJ Magic J, good to see you. They need to go and join New Japan or NOAH and then come to WWE. I'll say what's interesting. Certainly, you talk about places that need stars. New Japan is desperate for stars. And so any of these talents could certainly head over to New Japan and be welcomed with open arms. I think that's a thing. I think we really have to consider a few things right now. Not only is it stacked on Raw and SmackDown, but it's far more stacked in NXT than you'll realize. And here's why. We've already got Raw on Netflix. We've got SmackDown cooking on USA, which we've not even had the conversation about how suddenly SmackDown is a longer show than Raw. It's another story for another day. So you've got that. You've got NXT cooking on the CW. We've just added Penta to the mix. John Cena is back. Punk is flowing well. You've got Seth. You've got Jey Uso winning the Royal Rumble. You've got Roman Reigns. You've got Jacob Fatu really kind of stepping into that upper level status. You've got Cody, the WWE champion. You've got Gunther as the world champion. Oh, yeah. And there's this whole TNA partnership where if you've got a shortage of men, now you can have men from TNA. We're seeing JDC come over for a Heritage Cup match on Tuesday. So right now, there's a whole lot happening in the WWE zeitgeist that would make it very challenging to add any new stars. Now, I'm not saying they can't be added, but you have to really rise above right now. And so I think it could be an interesting time. I don't know where either of the three of them fit right now on the road to WrestleMania. Now, maybe Raw after Mania, we could see something. Now, I'm surprised you haven't thought about this, Sweetest Oos, but this is the one thing that I'm thinking of, that if you bring somebody back, this is how you do it. I think Aleister Black of the three could be the one that makes the return, but he's hanging with Karrion Kross to do it.
Oh my goodness.
Ooh, that would be good.
Those two together. Because think about it. Karrion Kross's whole final testament has been gutted. AOP is gone.
Yeah,
Paul Ellering is gone.
Yep.
Karrion Kross is by himself. You get him and Aleister Black to act as equals. Together?
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, they can wreak terror. And then, you know, I don't know where the Wyatt Six is. We have not heard hide nor hair of them in weeks.
Tell me about it.
I don't know what's happening with them, but I'll say this. Aleister Black with Karrion Kross could fit right now.
Oh,
that
wow.
could fit right. That doesn't mm-hmm. have to wait because we just took away what we saw with AOP. And quite frankly, no knock, but Aleister Black and Karrion Kross is a lot more menacing than the AOP and Karrion Kross. Just my two cents.
Not for nothing. You're not wrong there. You are so not wrong there. But I will say there was something that happened. There was something that happened at the end of Alexa's match.
Yes, there was.
Where there was a situation. It wasn't necessarily a QR code. It was kind of a glitch in the system.
I saw it.
Yes, I did. The glitch.
Kind of a glitch in the system. So it's not like, I mean, I was like, are we going to see them? Are we not? Of course we didn't. Yeah. So we still haven't really officially seen them, but
it's on the way.
Something tells me that they're lurking, Professor. You know, like
it's on the way.
The spidey senses are tingling. But I would absolutely love Aleister Black and Karrion Kross, especially with what Karrion Kross was about to roll out before he got released that first time. And they had him in that, you know, that exchange with Seth and his eye or anything like that. But there was like these certain vignettes that he was, you know, promoting and doing where he was telling a story mm-hmm. and he had a book and he you know, it was kind of like formal, mm-hmm. but Karrion Kross could kind of come off the same way. It's like that mm-hmm. intellectual menacing madness kind of person, you know, that like Jack Nicholson in The Shining, you know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like Professor's kind of onto something there. Mm. That would be pretty darn cool.
And then you throw in perhaps matches with Penta. There are some wild options that are possible right now
Ooh-wee.
With an Aleister Black return. But I think of the three, you bring him, if you let him and Penta cook, if you put him and Karrion Kross together and just let them go crazy. Let them go crazy mm-hmm. for a minute. Like I think we really would have something that would be special. And to have Aleister Black back with Triple H at the helm. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about it again. Aleister Black and all that he did as an NXT champion, et cetera, et cetera.
This
is what we would be really, really looking for.
There has been nothing I wanted more for the last few years than for this man to just be back to his rightful place. Like, that's mm-hmm. nothing I want more. Man.
These are the things that would only be right. And so...
Finish, you know, the story.
Let's hope we can get something like that to happen. For sure. For sure. For sure. Let's take a quick pause for the cause and hear from our friends at All Caribbean Wrestling.
Have you heard the news? It's pretty big. I heard from my friend who heard from her friend all the way from the Caribbean. Well, when I heard from my friend, I became super excited. And I think you guys will like it too. WWT now has an official partner, and it's All Caribbean Wrestling, the premier promotion across the Caribbean. Go to allcaribbeanwrestling.com to check out all the latest pay-per-views, or go on the YouTube page as All Caribbean Wrestling. Also, go and check out their socials on Instagram as All Caribbean Wrestling and on X at All Caribbean WR1. Now, you make sure you go and check them out and tell them WWT sent you. You hear me?
Shout out to our friends, of course, at All Caribbean Wrestling, who are a great sponsor for us here at Women's Wrestling Talk. And All Caribbean Wrestling, they've got some pretty amazing things that are happening right now. Of course, all roads are leading to March the 1st, mm-hmm. the debut of Saturday Night Vibe, the brand new television show airing on Tempo Networks, which covers 24 different Caribbean islands, which is amazing. On top of that, you can watch that show on the All Caribbean Wrestling app, which is now available for Apple. It's available for Android, and it's available for Roku. So you can go ahead, download that app, Check it out. Check out the entire catalog of All Caribbean Wrestling. And of course, all roads lead not this Saturday, but 2 weeks from this Saturday. Gosh, that's so close. Saturday Night Vibe, March the 1st. It's amazing to think that it's that close. Very, very excited to see what's going to happen there. For those looking for a start time, it is 5:30 p.m. Eastern, the start time. And so I know someone mentioned Elimination Chamber is that day. It is, but it'll be before Elimination Chamber. So you can put that in your wrestling schedule to check out. Really excited about that. Excited to be on the call for that, along with our friend TK. So that'll be a lot of fun.
Hey.
You guys will get a chance to see that again. So download the app now and get involved and connected to that. Now, we've been talking about all of these releases. And so a recently released superstar from WWE, of course, that is Indi Hartwell. Indi Hartwell has a very interesting perspective relative to these whole releases, you know, the whole 90-day situation, which is problematic for some, but she actually believes that it's actually a good thing. She believes that it gives people the opportunity to really kind of think about what they want to do. And, you know, she talked about when you lose your job, how difficult that is. So, you know what? She says this is a good situation. She said this as part of an interview recently on Busted Open, which we love all the good people over at Busted Open. She says that, you know, this is her quote. She says, you can't just think of something straight away after you've lost your job. You need that time to go through everything. She said she went through all of the emotions and talked to people and got advice. And there are a lot of people that are helping her. She says, I'm excited to get my confidence back and be in control. I saw Matt Cardona tweeted about being independent means that everything is in your control, whether that's success or failure. I'm excited to be in control of things now. I want to get your thoughts on the 90-day non-compete that we hear about so often. Do you actually think it's a good thing for the wrestlers that are involved? Courtney.
I do believe it is a good thing for them because during this 90-day, sometimes even over in IWC land and everywhere else, some people kind of think of like, oh my God, it's the end of the world, everything else. But the thing I did like with Indi, she kind of turned a negative into a positive because during that 90-day mark, she can figure out, okay, what do I want to do next? What's my next chapter? And just really giving time to breathe a little bit and figure out what she wants to do. And it's nice that she does have a support system that she can lean on and figure out what she wants to do, not just on the physicality, but also on the mentality a bit. So at least she has some self-care to really focus and give a little bit of a deep breather. So I'm very happy she is really figuring out her options. And pretty much she's the driver's seat of her life. She gets to choose on what she wants. And also, I'm very excited on where she wants to go to next.
Honey, do you see a downside potentially to the 90 days? I mean, if you think about it, if you're somebody who has either been on TV or people are familiar with your name, 90 days is 3 months. That's a quarter of the year. Is that too long of a period to be able to not go out and get work? What are your thoughts?
I think that's not a terrible amount of time. I mean, I think it also depends on the superstar and their work ethic, but it also gives the superstar some time to be able to wind down and figure out what their next moves would be. If that, you know, if they want to even continue with pursuing or if there's other things they want to pursue, you know, that is outside the jurisdiction of, you know, the realm of professional wrestling. But no, I think it's pretty fair. I think the 90-day clause has always been fair.
Well, for sure. We're looking forward to seeing how everybody responds. Certainly, it does give you an opportunity to figure some things out. I mean, consider this, you know, in several cases, not all, but in several cases, the name that they have been known by in WWE, that intellectual property belongs to WWE. So now they have to find a new identity and somehow allow that to be branded enough so that when people hear this new name, they will know who it is, as opposed to referring to their old WWE name. And that can be difficult for a lot of people. I mean, think about it. We're still calling Bryan Danielson Daniel Bryan, right? Mm-hmm. So it, you know, once that has been branded so well, it can be hard to do. So the 90 days gives people an opportunity to also figure out who they are. And sometimes that's good and sometimes that's not. I liken it to what happens in the music industry. If you get dropped from a major label, most consumers don't realize how much work the label did for a particular recording artist. And the recording artist doesn't always acknowledge that until they become an independent artist. Now they've got to do the marketing and the branding and figure out the strategy and all of those kinds of things.
Right.
Yeah. And they realize it's that much more difficult. So it's going to be interesting to see how all of these wrestlers view this, but certainly we wish, again, all of them well, and we hope that the 90-day period is productive for them. Now, there was mention of the Elimination Chamber. Say its name and it'll appear. Mm-hmm. And so March the 1st, the Elimination Chamber is happening. This past week, we got a good picture of at least half of the participants in the Elimination Chamber match on the men's and the women's side. So on the women's side, we saw, of course, Monday night that Liv Morgan qualified in a rather controversial way, defeating Io Sky by way of disqualification. We also saw that Alexa Bliss has punched her ticket into the Elimination Chamber, and Bianca Belair has punched her ticket into the Elimination Chamber. Do you think that either of these three, and granted, we are still waiting for some additional members, which we'll talk about a qualifying match that's going to be happening in a little bit. Do you think that any of these three could potentially walk out as the winner of the Elimination Chamber match? Honey, we'll start with you.
I mean, judging by what we have here already, there's a case for any of these women to win. But if you want to go with some storytelling, you would have to go with Liv. I think Liv is one that could come out on top in a very in a very unexpected way. Okay. But that's just judging by what I see here with these three women. I think Alexa Bliss is definitely an X factor of this match, but there's something else that's going to be going down, and it depends on who the other three are on the other side as well.
Okay. Okay. Courtney, do you see any of these three women winning the Elimination Chamber match?
For all three of them, they all have strong cases, and especially with the fact they have competed in Elimination Chamber matches before. So this is not new to them. I do see Alexa Bliss as a dark horse for this, because people tend to forget, as I mentioned, she wrestled in the matches, and even though she is coming back, she has a few tricks up her sleeve. Liv, I could possibly seeing. Bianca is a possibility. I could see her winning the Elimination Chamber. So there's a strong case for all three of them. But also after Monday, because we'll get to Raw in it shortly, but very curious on the other remaining ladies in the Elimination Chamber match, because this is going to be interesting. And plus, I'm excited because it's a nice time of the year for Elimination Chamber on the road to WrestleMania.
We will certainly see what this looks like on the women's side. On the men's side, we already knew coming out of Royal Rumble that John Cena would be a part. We now know that that will also include CM Punk and Drew McIntyre, who is the latest addition to the SmackDown roster. Now, this gets very interesting. Some think that this could be predictable. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. Who's winning the Elimination Chamber, and are we looking at one of the winners on our screen right now, Courtney?
It could be a possibility with three of them. I'm just looking at Drew and CM Punk because I could see mayhem in that match between those two. I feel like those two are definitely going to deliver mayhem in the Elimination Chamber. Also, we do have a qualifying match on SmackDown this week, so They all have strong cases, all three of them. But all three
is
of
the
them
winner is the winner one of those three?
That's the question on the floor.
Oh man. I'm gonna say yes, and I'm actually going to go a little bit. I'm actually going to pick a strong pick. I'm going to say Drew McIntyre is my pick.
Ooh. Okay. Okay. We got her to commit, folks. We got
there
her
we
to
go.
Commit. Very good. Very good. Honey, do you see one of the winners here? Well, no. Let me back up and let me ask you a different question. And the question is this. Is it a foregone conclusion that at the Elimination Chamber, at the end of that match, that John Cena will win this match and head to the main event of WrestleMania? Is that a foregone conclusion?
I think that's a foregone conclusion for a lot of people, yes.
Okay. For How me, about for you?
For me, that just comes off too easy. But we are on the John Cena retirement tour.
Mm-hmm.
Anything is possible.
Well, it certainly seems like there are a few who believe that John Cena in the chat is going to be the one to win this. I'm just going to say it now. I don't think John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber.
I kind of don't either.
I don't either.
Yeah, I
kind of see this as one of two things. This happened to Seth Rollins a couple of years ago, and it happened mm-hmm. to John Cena a few years back, mm-hmm. trying to figure out what your path to WrestleMania looks like.
Yes.
Here's the problem with John mm-hmm. Cena going to the main event of WrestleMania now. If he goes to the main event of WrestleMania now, then he has to win the championship at WrestleMania. If he mm-hmm. wins the championship at WrestleMania, what is there left for him to do in this farewell tour?
Nothing.
No ting, I say. So I'm just saying, guys, I think John Cena is going to have a difficult road to that. And let's really keep it a buck. John Cena had a hard time at the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
I know the people don't want to have this kind of conversation, mm-hmm. right? The Saints don't really want to have church. But here's the reality of it. The reality of it is John Cena struggled during the Royal Rumble. This was not the John Cena that we had seen of years gone by. John Cena is winded. He doesn't move the same. And he struggled to get to the end of the Rumble. He hit out for a good portion of the Royal Rumble. So now the question is, can you put this John Cena in the main event of what's likely going to be your biggest Royal Rumble of all time?
Well, WrestleMania.
Excuse me, mm-hmm. WrestleMania. Thank you. I was stuck on Royal Rumble. Can you put him in the biggest WrestleMania of all time in the yeah. main event? You can put him in the biggest WrestleMania. You can't put him in the main event.
Not if you're trying to outdo last year.
Mm-hmm. No. Here's the problem. And this is the juxtaposition. On one hand, John Cena will move numbers, right? But they've already bought their tickets anyway. Now you're looking for basically, you know, views on Netflix or views on Peacock. But the real question is, can he deliver? And mm-hmm. think about this. We put The Rock in that position last year, and we put him in a tag team match with the greatest of all time. And The Rock did his work, and he ended up getting the pin. The Rock held up in a 30-minute main event match.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena struggled at the Royal Rumble, and that's with multiple eyes on multiple people. Can you put John Cena in the main event of WrestleMania? Certainly not against Gunther. Gunther will chop that man something terrible.
Yep.
Cody will run circles around him right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think John Cena does end up at WrestleMania because he's got to. It's his last one. I think he ends up in a historic match. Against whom? I don't know. But it's not going to be for a world championship. I'm sorry to disappoint you. You've got a whole year left. You got a whole 9 months left, folks.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And if anything, you want it to be a journey where you're trying to see, will he actually capture this championship? Mm-hmm. And I'll say this. I would rather John Cena win. Here's, if I'm booking this is the chase. John Cena is the chase. all year long for the championship. And he gets to his retirement match. It's retire or become champion. He wins the world championship in his final match, and he rides off into the sunset. And we have a tournament for the world title, or we put it on the line at the Royal Rumble. So this man doesn't have to lose for a 17th time. But let his last match be the world championship. We've been on the ride with him all year, and he does it. If he wins the world title any time before then, we're setting ourselves up for disappointment. And I'm a little nervous. I'm a little nervous. Let's see. Ms. Awesome Saucy, welcome back. She says, if Rock is not at WrestleMania, then your next bet is Cena. Hey, you know what? I'm not mad for Rock Cena 3 at this year's WrestleMania.
Listen.
Rock Cena 3, nobody's mad. Because the expectation, we just want to see them back. So I'm not mad at that. Because just extrapolating, I think Roman's going to end up against Seth at Mania, which we've never seen that at Mania, long overdue. So Roman's locked up. We're not going to get Roman Rock this year, which means we may never get Roman Rock. But if you give us Rock Cena, part three, count me all the way. Somebody said on one of these interviews I should end up booking, but maybe I should. I don't know, because I think my ideas are all right. Who does Punk fight? Who does Punk fight? Well, I think, remember, Punk has a favor to call in. And I think that favor gets called in Sunday night against whoever the champion is. That's my two cents. But nobody asked for my WrestleMania opinions just yet. it's still early. It's
still we're still on the road.
Still early on the road.
By the way, I don't know if anybody noticed this. It was rumored that there was supposed to be a potential announcement about WrestleMania 42. And there was supposed to be an announcement during Super Bowl week in Nashville. There was rumors of that. That obviously did not happen. So that makes me, because remember there was talk that New Orleans was on the table for the next WrestleMania sighting. I personally, nothing against New Orleans. I don't think it needs to be in New Orleans. We've had two WrestleManias in New Orleans in the last decade. Let's spread the wealth. I'm sure there's another city that's ready. But we'll see, because it's interesting that we don't have that announcement quite yet. But let's move on, because Nikki Bella is in the news, and Nikki Bella has a very interesting quote. I will give you this quote to the best of my ability. The quote is about Natalya. Now, I probably shouldn't talk about Natalya, because when we talk about Natalya, certain things just start to happen, right? But Nikki Bella made her return to the ring, of course, at the Royal Rumble. Now, those who've been following Nikki Bella's post-WWE career, you know, she has been doing very well. She ended up finally getting married to her coach at Dancing with the Stars. Unfortunately, that did not end well. And so during that time, she said she lost her confidence. But she began training for in-ring return, and that training was with Natalya. And she said, this time around, Natty has been a key piece for me because she knows me best when it comes to wrestling. She knows my personality. She knows how I move. And the one thing she picked up on quick was, quote, we need to get your confidence back. This is an interesting quote from Nikki Bella. She said, she told Natalya, quote, in the past few years, I've really lost confidence in myself and I've lost feeling great about myself. That was a big part of being Nikki Bella. She said Nikki Bella oozed confidence. She'd go out there and feel strong and sexy and confident, but she didn't feel that way anymore. And so she said that Natalya is the one who gave her confidence back. What are your thoughts on that?
First off, give acknowledge to the boat. Gotta give acknowledge to the boat. But in all seriousness, people may not know this, but Natalya was very close with the Bella Twins. If you want to go back to the development days when they were in FCW, I believe it was. And they and she has been very supportive of both, not just Brie, but also Nikki too. And also given the fact with everything that's been happening with Nikki, with the divorce and also feeling like she lost a little bit of confidence and messy divorce, it's really nice to have a friend like Natalya to have that and have that support system, because sometimes we tend to forget what she has been through personally. And also at the end of the day, she is still human and she does have feelings. So it's really nice that for her to have a friend in Natty to really confide in, who understands her. They've been on the road, they've been in the same, almost same brand together, wrestled together. So it's really nice. And also they did Total Divas together. So it's really nice for her to really have that friend, and definitely giving kudos to the boat on being a supportive friend. But I'm really happy she is bouncing back through kind of everything that she's been through.
For sure. And we certainly appreciate this. This is interesting. Interesting conversation happening over here. Special Nobody said that people tend to forget what she's been through personally. And I think people do. And I think people forget that, you know, we see people as entertainers, and we don't necessarily understand all that they have dealt with, but they're human. And in dealing with all that they are going through, they lack confidence. Dylan says, so we're going to just forget that Nikki slagged off WWE. Okay. Let me say this. Again, her comments about WWE were what they were. Mm-hmm. And we know WWE has for a long time been a place that is awfully forgiving. How many people have they welcomed back over the years who have gone through public rants about WWE? We just mentioned the name CM Punk, mm-hmm. right? There are a number of people who have done that. I think one of the things that's lacking when we make statements like that is we don't seem to see or make room for forgiveness and reconciliation. This is the part that people don't like, but people deserve the opportunity to get their wrongs right, whatever that may be. And so clearly Nikki is good with WWE if they were willing to welcome her back for the Raw on Netflix and for the Royal Rumble. So if that's the case, why are we holding things against her that they are not? She didn't talk about us. She talked about them. Mm-hmm. If they can get over it, I think we can too. So with that said, I don't know what happens for Nikki Bella. I don't know if the return was just for the Royal Rumble or if this is another run in WWE. But if it is, kudos to her. And it'll be a great test to see how she stacks up against what is the current WWE roster, particularly on the women's side. So this will be fun to watch. Now, an interesting story, and who knows where this one is going to go, but it is believed that the WWE has filed trademarks for some new names. And these names are believed to be names for superstars. Now, these names are interesting. I'm just going to read through some of these names, and you can do with them what you'd like. Perhaps you can see if you can figure out who they might apply to. They filed trademarks with following names: Osiris Griffin, mm-hmm. Hayes Jameson, Trill London, Harley Riggins, Summer Sorrell, Jax Presley, Mason Holiday, Draco Knox, Tate Wilder, Braxton Cole, Chantel Monroe, and Aria Bennett. Very interesting names. Do any of those strike a chord with you in terms of who you think they may be? What do you think?
I'm just going through all these names and it's just like, it doesn't ring a bell, but I'm very happy WWE is putting the trademark on certain names, because we've always seen a lot of times with superstars where they can't have the, where some superstars actually have their own stage names and then they build a brand on it. But when they go to a different promotion, it's kind of, you have to start from scratch since WWE technically owns it. So I'm really happy they are starting to be creative with this and figure out brands. And also this could be a beneficial, especially since they already have maybe some WWE ID potentials or some new signees they may have in the future, on thinking like, ooh, maybe that name could fit into that. Like thinking of personality wise, the charisma wise. So it's really kind of thinking like matching the name with a person along with that personality and if it's going to fit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they already have in mind who these names are going to. And I am imagining that these names will go to newer talents that no one is aware of at this point. Because, you know, WWE knows who their people are. Mm-hmm. And they know who already has an established name. If they're able to go with that name, it obviously makes more sense for them to do. But we'll see. We'll certainly see. Those are clearly some of the new superstars we could be seeing, and some of those names could be attached to some who we will see as part of the new show LFG, mm-hmm. which, again, that show will debut this coming Sunday. I'm not sure how closely some of you have been paying attention to some of the promo moments that have happened there, but in some of the commercials, there are some faces that are familiar. Mm-hmm. That's what I will say. And if you're able to pick them out, that's fantastic. If not, I will not spoil it for you. But there are some familiar faces. There are some new faces as well. Again, LFG debuts this Sunday night on A&E. So be on the lookout for that. But before we get there, we've got to head to Monday Night Raw, mm-hmm. which we've got a full night on Raw tonight, which will include a few qualifying matches for the Elimination Chamber. The Intercontinental Champion, Lyra Valkyria, will be taking on Bayley. We've got Rey Mysterio taking on Logan Paul in a qualifying match. The return of Dakota Kai. She is back after injury. She'll be returning with Io Sky as Damage Control. They'll be taking on Liv Morgan and Raquel Rodriguez. We'll also hear from AJ Styles, who will officially make his return to Monday Night Raw. And we'll hear from CM Punk, who is, of course, qualified for the Elimination Chamber. All right, let's get your thoughts. Who do you think is qualifying for the Chamber tonight on the women's and men's side? We'll start with the women's match. Who do you think is going to the Chamber, Courtney?
This match right here, I smell so many shenanigans happening, especially with the fact Ivy now wants Lyra's Intercontinental title. Of course, Bayley's dealing with situation with Roxanne. So there, I can smell a lot of shenanigans throughout this whole match. But I'm sorry, Lyra, but I'm going to have to pick Bayley for this.
Okay. Okay. I don't know about all these shenanigans you're talking about. I think you love that. I don't really see that happening tonight. There might be a Roxanne appearance from the crowd, but I don't see where it benefits Ivy specifically to get involved in this, but we'll see what happens. And this is actually a tough one to call. It's easy to call Bayley, although I don't think it would be a bad moment for Lyra to get this. Bayley is looking for a win that she hasn't had in quite a while. Mm-hmm. So I think we could see Lyra come out of this with a big win. Because quite frankly, it probably wouldn't be good for the brand new Intercontinental Champion to lose mm-hmm. in a match like this. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
In addition, we've got Rey Mysterio and Logan Paul. Who do you got on this one?
Oof. This is going to be an interesting match between, because these two know each other very, very well. But I got to give the slight edge to Logan Paul.
Yeah, I would agree. Logan Paul qualifying for the Chamber, I think, makes sense. It's it's the thing you don't want to see happen that needs to happen. So, yeah, Logan Paul, I think, will be making that move forward. Again, great match slated to happen tonight. Dakota Kai, Io Sky, Liv Morgan, and Raquel Rodriguez. So it should be a big night on Monday Night Raw that starts at the top of the hour. Not quite sure if there will be a watch along for it, but certainly if there is, be tuned in to that. All right. Here's how you can reach out to us on these good social streets. Courtney, how can they find you?
Well, they can always find me here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WWT Live. I'm doing double duty this week because I thought we were going to have a Tuesday Night War, but we're going to have a watch along on Wednesday for Dynamite. Just wanted to let you know, even though it's live tomorrow and they're going to air it Wednesday, please do not give me any spoilers ahead before Wednesday. Also, you're not going to get just AEW Dynamite. You're also going to get a watch along for Grand Slam in Australia this Saturday, where it's going to be very interesting coming to you from Australia. So feel free to get your popcorn, get your candy, get everything ready. So there will be double watch alongs. You can also follow me on at CourtneyNJ11 on Twitter and Instagram, where I do post content. I'm very excited to post a lot of stuff in the coming weeks. Please make sure to follow Bell to Bell and ISPW Wrestling, as I am currently doing a lot of stuff with them behind the scenes in the process of that. But feel free to follow them on all their social accounts.
Sounds good. Of course, you can find me on the socials at Bonnerfied across all those spaces. Just dropped a new video today, bringing back the Lit series, which is, of course, legends, icons, and trailblazers as we continue to talk about Black history. And so today we dropped a new video on the big cat, Ernie Ladd. I think you guys will want to check that out, gain some good history there for you regarding him. A lot of cool things going on right now. Just dropped an interview with our friends over at the Mega Powers podcast. That was actually a really fun interview. It dropped on Friday on their YouTube page. So check that out. I've got some snippets of that on my socials as well. In addition, some other things going on outside. Just launched my own podcast network, which you guys can check out. It's the Bonnerfied Podcast Network. You can check that out at bonnerfiedpodcastnetwork.com. Some really cool things happening there. Getting ready for another edition of Ashe Wrestling TV this Thursday as we continue our Black History Month celebration. Some really, really cool things happening there. That's 8 p.m. Eastern on the YouTube channel this Thursday night. Again, we're getting ready for All Caribbean Wrestling's Saturday Night Vibe, March the 1st. That's going to be exciting on Tempo Networks and on the All Caribbean mobile app and a lot of other great things happening there. I feel like there's some other things that I can't think of right now, but you can find it all out at Bonnerfied across all of the social spaces. Make sure you're following us here at Women's Wrestling Talk. WW Talk Pod is where you can find us on the socials. The website is www.talkpod.com. Shout out to those who might even be watching us right now on our website. We definitely appreciate you. You can get merch. You can get interviews. You can get all of the things connected to Women's Wrestling Talk. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Special to nobodies, DJ Magic J. Let's see, Dylan, Boza, Jaseum, the Mega Powers Podcast, Eric, Cousin Ron, Jasmine, who else is in here? Danny, Miss Awesome Saucy. Oh man, a lot of people in here today. Always good to see you guys rocking with us in the chat and contributing to the conversation. We really, really appreciate you all. Cousin Ron, again, always great to see you, my friend. Again, watch along tonight, I believe, for Monday Night Raw, starting at the top of the hour. Plus, again, all the watch-alongs happening all week long for NXT, Dynamite, SmackDown, Grand Slam, Australia. There may even be one for NXT Vengeance Day. All kinds of things happening. We appreciate all that you guys are doing to help what we do continue to reach the masses. Keep spreading the word about Women's Wrestling Talk. We are the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.
Thanks for joining WWT. Don't forget to like us on all social media platforms at WW Talk Pod. Like and subscribe on all video and audio platforms, like yesterday, my G. And check out our website at www.talkpod.com. Thanks for watching Women's Wrestling Talk, the number one women's wrestling network on the planet.